Thank you for being a valued supporter of the 10X Podcast Group. Your dedication means the world to us. Today we bring you a gripping tale titled, Cold Cases and Hot Leads. Your continued support and subscription fuel our passion for storytelling, and we deeply appreciate every moment you spend with us. So without further ado, let's dive into today's compelling narrative. Chapter 1. The Call in the Night. The soft hum of a distant television droned in the background as Mark Calloway stared at the worn pages of an old paperback novel. It was a routine evening in his modest suburban home, a life far removed from the chaos of his days as a homicide detective. His retirement had been a mixed blessing. Peaceful, yes, but suffocatingly quiet. He had grown accustomed to this uneventful existence until the phone rang that night. The landline, an old relic he refused to replace, buzzed sharply. Mark glanced at the clock on the wall. 11:47 p.m. Calls at this hour were rarely good news. He set the book down and picked up the receiver, clearing his throat. "Calloway," he said gruffly, old habits forcing his voice into its professional tone. No answer. "Hello." Static crackled faintly, followed by a low, distorted voice. "You missed something, something big." Mark's chest tightened. "Who is this?" The line went dead. Mark hung up and stared at the phone. Prank calls weren't uncommon, but this felt different. Calculated, intentional. Shaking it off, he poured himself a glass of whiskey and headed to bed, chalking it up to a restless mind. He didn't know it yet, but that call was just the beginning. Thwomp. The next morning, Mark was jolted awake by a pounding knock at the door. Groggy and annoyed, he shuffled to the front door, muttering under his breath. On the porch sat a small, weathered envelope. No one was in sight. He stepped outside, scanning the empty street, but there was no sign of who had left it. Curiosity overcame his irritation as he picked up the envelope and inspected it. His name was scrawled across the front in messy, jagged handwriting. Inside, he found a single sheet of paper and a photograph. The paper was a typed note. "You've missed more than you know. Start with her." He unfolded the photograph with a trembling hand. The image was grainy but unmistakable. It was a picture of a young woman. Her lifeless body was sprawled in a ditch, her once bright eyes frozen in terror. The case hit Mark like a sledgehammer. It was her. Megan Price. The cold case. Megan Price's murder had haunted him for years. She was a bright, ambitious 22-year-old found strangled in a desolate field on the outskirts of the city. The case had gone cold despite months of exhaustive investigation. Leads had dried up, suspects had disappeared, and Mark had been forced to file it under unsolved. It was a failure that gnawed at him in quiet moments. Mark dropped into his chair, his mind racing. How could someone know about this case? Why no? The photograph in the envelope wasn't part of the evidence collected during the investigation. It was new, a detail he had never seen before. His gut twisted. Whoever sent this knew something he didn't. Pulling out his old case files from a dusty box in the attic, Mark spread them across the dining table. Megan's picture stared back at him, this time in the official crime scene photos. He compared it to the new photograph. Subtle differences stood out, the angle, the lighting. Someone had taken the picture before the police arrived. This wasn't just a tip. This was a message. A voice from the past. As Mark sifted through the files, his phone buzzed again. He flinched, gripping it tightly before answering. "Mark Calloway," he said, his voice steady despite the unease creeping up his spine. "I see you found my little gift," the same distorted voice from the night before said. "You always said you wanted justice. Are you ready to find the truth?" Mark clenched his jaw. "Who are you? What do you know about Megan Price?" The caller chuckled darkly. "Not over the phone. If you want answers, meet me at Red Maple Cemetery. Midnight." The line clicked dead again. Mark sat motionless, the phone still pressed to his ear. Whoever this was, they were either a dangerous lunatic or someone with genuine knowledge of Megan's murder. Either way, he couldn't ignore it. The cemetery meeting. By the time midnight rolled around, Mark had convinced himself this was a mistake. He was a retired detective with no authority to reopen a cold case, let alone chase mysterious tips from anonymous callers. Yet the thought of Megan's face, the horror frozen in her eyes, pushed him out the door. The cemetery was cloaked in fog, the tombstones barely visible under the faint glow of a crescent moon. Mark's flashlight cut through the darkness as he navigated the narrow pathways, his heart pounding with every step. "Over here," the distorted voice called out. Mark froze, shining his light toward the sound. A hooded figure stood several yards away, their face obscured. They raised a gloved hand, tossing another envelope at Mark's feet before disappearing into the mist. "Wait!" Mark shouted, chasing after them, but the figure vanished into the shadows. Frustrated and uneasy, he picked up the envelope and tore it open. Inside was another photograph and a note. The photo showed a familiar face, his brother Liam, talking to Megan Price outside a bar, timestamped the night she was killed. The note read, "Ask your brother. He knows more than he's telling you." Mark's world tilted. Liam had never mentioned knowing Megan. His mind raced with possibilities, none of them comforting. He stared at the photograph, his hands trembling as a chilling realization dawned. This wasn't just about the past. This was personal. Chapter 2: The Family Ties That Bind. The photograph lay on Mark Calloway's desk, its edges curling from his repeated handling. His brother, Liam, stood in stark contrast to Megan Price, both of them caught in the grainy image outside the crowded bar. Mark's mind reeled with questions. Why had Liam never mentioned knowing Megan? What connection could he possibly have to her death? And who was feeding Mark this information now? Mark hadn't slept since his midnight encounter at the cemetery. Every time he closed his eyes, Megan's lifeless stare bore into him. The note that came with the photograph only deepened the ache in his chest. "Ask your brother. He knows more than he's telling you." He needed answers, and he needed them now. The confrontation. By mid-morning, Mark was sitting in his car outside Liam's modest home on the outskirts of town. The small house with its peeling paint and unkempt lawn was a testament to Liam's years of bad decisions. Mark had always been the responsible one, cleaning up Liam's messes. But this time he wasn't sure what kind of mess he was walking into. Liam opened the door, his hair disheveled and a cigarette dangling from his lips. "Mark? What the hell are you doing here?" Mark pushed past him without a word, stepping into the cluttered living room. The stench of stale beer and old pizza hit him like a wall. Liam closed the door, eyeing his brother suspiciously. "You want to tell me why your face is in this?" Mark slapped the photograph onto the coffee table, the anger in his voice barely restrained. Liam frowned, picking up the picture. "What is this?" "You tell me," Mark shot back. "That's you. That's Megan Price. The night she was murdered." Liam's eyes widened, and for a fleeting moment, Mark saw something that looked like fear. I didn't know her like that," Liam stammered, setting the photo down. "We just talked that night, that's all." Mark stepped closer, his voice low and dangerous. "Don't lie to me, Liam. Whoever's feeding me this knows something. What the hell were you doing with her?" Liam ran a hand through his greasy hair, pacing the room. "I don't know, man. I was drunk, okay? She was outside the bar, crying about some guy who stood her up. I bought her a drink and we talked. That's it." Mark crossed his arms, studying his brother's face. "And you didn't think to mention this when she turned up dead the next day?" "I didn't kill her," Liam snapped, his voice rising. "I didn't even think I was a suspect. No one ever asked me about her." Mark's jaw tightened. He wanted to believe him, but years of Liam's half-truths and excuses made it impossible. "If you're lying to me, Liam, I swear to God." "I'm not lying," Liam interrupted, his voice desperate. "Look, maybe someone saw us talking and jumped to conclusions. I don't know. But I didn't hurt her." Mark's gut twisted. The panic in Liam's voice seemed genuine, but the photograph said otherwise. Someone wanted him to dig into this, and they weren't going to stop until he uncovered the truth. The second envelope. Later that evening, Mark returned home, still fuming. He dropped onto his couch and buried his face in his hands. His brother's words replayed in his mind, but they brought him no closer to the answers he sought. As he sat there, the faint sound of footsteps outside his door jolted him upright. He reached for his revolver, a habit he hadn't shed from his days on the force, and approached the door cautiously. Opening it, he found another envelope on the doormat. This time there was no knock, no sound of retreating footsteps. Mark stared at the envelope, his heart pounding. It was the same weathered paper, the same jagged scrawl of his name on the front. With trembling hands, he tore it open and pulled out its contents. Inside was a single sheet of paper with a message typed in bold letters. "You think you know the people closest to you? Look closer." Attached was another photograph. This one froze the air in Mark's lungs. His daughter's fiancé, Eric, stood outside a playground, holding the hand of a little boy who looked terrified. The timestamp on the photo matched the day a 5-year-old named Lucas Hayes disappeared. Another cold case from Mark's career. A new suspect. Mark's hands shook as he studied the photograph. Eric had always seemed like a decent guy. Charming, responsible, a stark contrast to the type of men his daughter usually dated. But now Mark's instincts kicked in. He had been wrong about people before, and this new lead painted a chilling picture. Grabbing his phone, Mark dialed his daughter, Sarah. She answered on the second ring. "Dad? What's up?" she asked, her voice warm and unsuspecting. Mark hesitated, his mind racing. "Sarah, where's Eric?" "He's at work." "Why? Have you noticed anything strange about him lately? Anything off?" "Off?" Sarah laughed lightly. "No, Dad. He's fine. What's going on?" Mark forced himself to remain calm. "Nothing. Just curious. I'll talk to you later." He hung up and exhaled shakily. Eric was connected to Lucas Hayes, and the anonymous tipster had handed Mark another breadcrumb. But what was their endgame? Were they trying to help him solve these cases, or were they setting him up for something far darker? The puzzle deepens. That night, Mark spread the evidence across his dining table, trying to piece together the connections. Megan Price, Lucas Hayes, Liam, Eric. Were these cases truly linked, or was someone orchestrating this to make it look that way? Mark's thoughts were interrupted by his phone buzzing. It was a text message from an unknown number. The message read, "You're getting warmer, detective. But if you want the truth, you'll have to risk it all." Attached to the text was an address. Mark stared at the screen, his pulse racing. He had a choice to make. Follow the lead and risk walking into a trap, or wait and let the anonymous sender take the next move. The lives of the people he loved, and the weight of the cases he had failed to solve, hung in the balance. Mark grabbed his coat and his revolver. He had come too far to stop now. Chapter 3, The Ghosts of the Past. The address from the anonymous text led Mark Calloway to the industrial outskirts of the city, a desolate area where broken streetlights cast long, eerie shadows. The GPS directed him to an abandoned warehouse, its skeletal structure standing like a ghost from another era. Mark parked his car a safe distance away, the weight of his revolver tucked into his holster providing a fragile sense of security. He hesitated before stepping out, scanning the area for any signs of movement. The stillness was oppressive, the only sound the distant hum of traffic. Whoever sent that message wanted him here, but for what purpose? The thought sent a chill down his spine as he approached the rusted door. The meeting. Inside, the air was damp and heavy with the stench of decay. The weak light filtering through shattered windows painted the space in patches of gray. At the far end of the warehouse, a single desk lamp illuminated a small table. On the table sat a stack of files and another envelope. Mark's footsteps echoed as he made his way across the concrete floor. His every sense was on high alert, his hand instinctively resting on the grip of his gun. He paused, glancing around one last time before reaching for the envelope. The note inside read, "You're getting close. Let the past guide you." Beneath the note was an old case file. Mark's breath hitched as he recognized it immediately. The Hayes abduction. Lucas Hayes had been only 5 years old when he disappeared from a playground near his home. The case had been one of Mark's most frustrating failures, and though Lucas's body was never found, the investigation eventually stalled, leaving it cold and unsolved. But this file wasn't the original. Mark's brows furrowed as he flipped through the pages. This version contained details that had never been included in the official records. Surveillance footage stills, witness statements, even a detailed timeline of Eric's whereabouts on the day of the disappearance. Eric had been there. Connecting the dots. Mark's heart pounded as he absorbed the information. The text messages, the photographs, the tip about Liam, all of it was starting to form a chilling pattern. Someone had access to these old cases, someone who knew exactly how to hit him where it hurt. Whoever was behind this wasn't just digging up the past, they were reshaping it. Reaching into the depths of Mark's career and pulling out every failure, every loose end, and tying them together in a sinister tapestry. But why? As he leafed through the file, he found another note clipped to the back page. "Your next lead lies with Evelyn Monroe. Ask her about the Hayes case." Evelyn Monroe. His former partner. the one person Mark had trusted completely during his time on the Force. The idea of her being involved in Lucas Hayes's disappearance, or worse, seemed unfathomable. But the anonymous sender had been right so far, and Mark couldn't ignore the possibility. A dangerous reunion. Mark hadn't spoken to Evelyn in years. After his retirement, their once close partnership had dissolved into occasional holiday greetings and awkward run-ins at department events. Still, he remembered her as sharp, loyal, and unflinchingly honest. Could she have been hiding something all along? He found her address in an old contact book and drove to her house in the city's suburbs. The lights were on when he arrived, casting a warm glow onto the front lawn. Mark hesitated before knocking on the door. Evelyn opened it, her expression shifting from surprise to concern. "Mark? What are you doing here?" "We need to talk," he said, his tone making it clear this wasn't a casual visit. Evelyn stepped aside, letting him in. Her home was tidy, with an air of comfort that contrasted sharply with the storm brewing in Mark's mind. She motioned for him to sit, but he remained standing. "What's this about?" she asked, crossing her arms. Mark pulled out the file on the Hayes case and dropped it onto the coffee table. "This. Someone's been feeding me information about my old cases. Cases I thought were long dead. And your name just came up." Evelyn's face paled. "What are you talking about?" "You tell me," Mark said, his voice cold. "The Hayes abduction. You were lead investigator after I was pulled off the case. Why didn't you ever tell me Eric was a suspect?" Evelyn's eyes widened. "Eric? Who's Eric?" Mark frowned, his frustration mounting. "Eric, the man engaged to my daughter. The man who was at the playground the day Lucas Hayes disappeared." Evelyn shook her head. "I don't know who this Eric is, but I swear to you he was never part of my investigation. If he was there that day, it wasn't in any of the reports I saw." "Then explain this." Mark slid the surveillance stills across the table. They showed Eric near the playground, standing close enough to Lucas to raise serious questions. Evelyn stared at the images, her expression a mix of disbelief and unease. "Mark, I don't know where you got these, but something isn't right. These photos weren't in the original evidence. Someone's tampered with this case. Uncovering the truth." Mark's mind raced as Evelyn's words sank in. If the evidence had been tampered with, it meant someone was actively working to rewrite the narrative of these cases. But to what end? Who else had access to the Hayes file? Mark asked. Evelyn hesitated. "The usual people, me, the captain, the analyst. But there was one other person." She trailed off, her eyes narrowing. "Do you remember Detective Ryan Palmer?" Mark stiffened. Palmer had been a rising star in the department, but his ambition had often crossed ethical lines. After a corruption scandal, he'd been quietly forced out, leaving behind a trail of bitterness. "You think Palmer's behind this?" Mark asked. Evelyn nodded slowly. "If anyone had the motive and the means to dig up these cases and twist them into some kind of sick game, it's him. He hated you for calling him out back then, and he blamed you for ruining his career." Mark's jaw tightened. If Palmer was involved, this was more than just a vendetta. It was a meticulously crafted trap, and Mark was walking right into it. A new threat. As Mark drove home, his phone buzzed with another message from the unknown number. "Did Evelyn tell you about Palmer? Be careful. He's closer than you think." Mark's grip on the steering wheel tightened. Whoever was behind these messages wasn't just feeding him information. They were controlling the game, pulling strings he couldn't yet see. His gut told him two things: he was being watched, and the worst was yet to come. Chapter 4: The Puppet Master's Hand. Mark Calloway sat in his car outside his house, the weight of the unknown pressing heavily on his chest. The name Ryan Palmer rolled around in his mind like a bad memory resurfacing. Palmer had been more than a disgraced detective. He had been a thorn in Mark's side for years, his unchecked ambition clashing with Mark's integrity. If Palmer was behind the anonymous tips, then this wasn't just about revenge. It was about destruction. Mark gripped the steering wheel tightly. He was no stranger to the intricate games criminals played, but this felt different. The web was tightening, and the stakes had shifted from professional failures to personal betrayals. His family was now squarely in the crosshairs. His phone buzzed again, shattering his thoughts. Another text from the same unknown number. "The truth is closer than you think. But are you ready to pay the price?" Attached was a photograph that made Mark's blood run cold. a grainy image of his daughter Sarah sitting in her car, unaware of the camera trained on her. The timestamp was from less than an hour ago. The threat takes shape. Mark stormed into his house, his heart pounding. He checked every door and window, ensuring they were locked, before calling Sarah. She picked up on the second ring. "Hey, Dad," she said brightly, oblivious to his panic. "Where are you?" he demanded. "At home." "Why? Is everything okay?" "Stay there," Mark said firmly. "Don't go anywhere and don't let anyone in. I'll explain when I get there." "Dad, you're scaring me." "Just do it, Sarah," he barked before hanging up. Mark grabbed his revolver and headed back to his car. The photograph was a clear message. Whoever was pulling the strings wasn't just digging into his past, they were now actively threatening his present. A visit to an old enemy. Before heading to Sarah's, Mark made one stop. He needed answers, and there was only one person who might have them. Ryan Palmer. Palmer's address was easy enough to find. An aging apartment complex on the outskirts of town. The building was as unkempt as Mark remembered Palmer to be, with peeling paint and flickering hallway lights. Mark knocked on the door, his fist heavy with pent-up frustration. The door opened a crack and Palmer's face appeared, his features twisted into a smirk. "Well, well. If it isn't the hero of the force," Palmer drawled. "To what do I owe the pleasure?" Mark pushed the door open and stepped inside, ignoring Palmer's protests. The apartment was a mess of takeout containers and overflowing ashtrays. A crooked bulletin board hung on the wall, cluttered with photos, newspaper clippings, and scribbled notes. Mark's eyes widened as he recognized some of the photos. Images from the Hayes case, the Megan Price murder, and others he hadn't seen in years. "What the hell is this, Palmer?" Mark demanded, pointing at the board. Palmer chuckled, leaning against the doorframe. "Just a little hobby. You know, keeping tabs on old friends." "Cut the crap," Mark snapped. "You've been sending me those tips." "Why? What do you want?" Palmer's smirk faded. "Sending you tips. You think I have the time or patience to play mind games with you, Calloway? As much as I'd love to see you squirm, this isn't my style." Mark studied him, searching for any hint of deception, but Palmer seemed genuinely confused. "If it's not you, then who the hell is it?" Palmer shrugged, lighting a cigarette. "I don't know. But whoever it is, they've got a hell of a grudge against you. And if they're as good as they seem, you're in deep." Mark's gaze fell back to the board. Among the chaos of photos and notes was a single name circled in red ink. Evelyn Monroe. The Evelyn connection. Mark left Palmer's apartment more unsettled than when he'd arrived. If Palmer wasn't behind the tips, then someone else was orchestrating the entire charade. And Evelyn Monroe was at the center of it. He dialed her number as he drove, but it went straight to voicemail. Frustration bubbled inside him. He couldn't afford to waste time chasing dead ends. His instincts told him Evelyn knew more than she was letting on, and if she was hiding something, he needed to find out what. When he arrived at Sarah's house, he found her pacing the living room, her face pale. "Dad, what's going on? Why are you so on edge?" Mark hesitated, unsure how much to tell her. "I'm working on something from the past. Complicated. Just trust me and stay inside for now." "Is this about Eric?" she asked, her voice trembling. "He told me you've been asking questions about him." Mark's stomach twisted. "What did he say?" "He said you think he's involved in some old case." "Dad, that's ridiculous. Eric would never—" "Sarah," Mark interrupted, his tone firm. "I need you to trust me. This isn't just about Eric. It's about keeping you safe." Sarah stared at him, her eyes filling with tears. "You're scaring me." Mark placed a hand on her shoulder. "I won't let anything happen to you. I promise." Uncovering the puppet master. Later that night, Mark returned to his home, determined to make sense of the chaos. He laid out all the evidence. The photographs, the notes, the files. And began piecing together the connections. The cases weren't random. Megan Price, Lucas Hayes, Evelyn Monroe, Eric. They were all tied together by someone who knew the inner workings of the investigations. Someone who had access to information that wasn't public. Mark's phone buzzed again. This time it was a video. He opened it, his heart pounding as the grainy footage played. It showed Evelyn Monroe in an interrogation room, speaking to an unseen figure. "I told you I don't know where Lucas is," she said, her voice trembling. "I had nothing to do with his disappearance." The unseen figure responded, their voice distorted. "You're lying, detective. And you'll pay for it." The video ended abruptly, leaving Mark staring at the screen in shock. Evelyn had been interrogated, but not by the police. Someone else had taken matters into their own hands. As he sat there, the pieces began to fall into place. The puppet master wasn't just targeting Mark. They were targeting everyone connected to his past failures. And they wouldn't stop until every secret was unearthed. Mark's resolve hardened. It was time to take the fight to whoever was behind this. But as he prepared to dig deeper, he couldn't shake the feeling that he was playing right into their hands. Chapter 5. The Final Lead. Mark Calloway stared at the scattered evidence on his desk, the weight of the truth pressing heavily on his shoulders. The anonymous messages, the photographs, the haunting video of Evelyn, it all pointed to a puppet master pulling strings from the shadows, orchestrating a game that had consumed his life and threatened those he loved. Whoever was behind this wasn't just after justice. They wanted Mark to suffer. The trap tightens. As Mark prepared to leave his house, his phone buzzed again. Another text from the unknown number. It's time to face the truth. Meet me where it all began. Attached was a single address, 2615 Carson Avenue. Mark froze. Carson Avenue was the location of the abandoned playground where Lucas Hayes had disappeared. The memory of that case rushed back with startling clarity. The broken swing sets, the overturned sandbox, the eerie silence that lingered after the search teams left. Mark grabbed his revolver and headed out the door, his jaw set. This was a trap. He was ready. The playground. The playground was a shadow of its former self. Rusted swings creaked in the wind and graffiti covered the walls of the adjacent building. The only light came from a single street lamp casting a dim glow over the cracked pavement. Mark stepped cautiously onto the playground, his senses on high alert. Calloway. The distorted voice cut through the silence. Mark spun around, his flashlight landing on a figure standing in the shadows. They wore a hooded jacket, their face obscured. I'm here, Mark said, his voice steady. Show yourself. The figure chuckled, a low menacing sound. Always the detective. Always looking for answers. Who are you? Mark demanded. What do you want? The figure stepped into the light and Mark's breath caught. It wasn't Ryan Palmer. It wasn't Evelyn Monroe. It was someone he hadn't seen in years. Jason Hayes, Lucas's father. The broken father. Jason's face was a mask of pain and anger, his eyes hollowed by years of grief. He pointed a trembling finger at Mark. You failed me, Calloway. You promised me justice and you gave me nothing. Mark lowered his flashlight slightly. Jason, I didn't stop looking for your son. Don't lie to me. Jason roared, his voice echoing through the empty playground. You moved on. You closed the case and forgot about him. But I never did. Mark took a step closer, his hands raised in a gesture of peace. Jason, if you know something about Lucas, anything, tell me. Let me help. Jason's expression twisted with rage. Help? You want to help? Where was your help when I begged you to keep searching? When I showed you the evidence and you ignored it? Mark's stomach churned. What evidence? Jason reached into his pocket and pulled out a USB drive. Everything. Photos, videos, names. It's all on here. Proof that Lucas didn't just vanish, he was taken. And you let it happen. The revelation. Jason tossed the USB drive at Mark's feet. Mark picked it up cautiously, his heart pounding. Jason, what's on this drive? Answers, Jason said bitterly. Answers you couldn't find because you didn't care enough to look. I've spent years piecing it together, tracking down the people responsible. And now, I want you to see what you missed. Mark hesitated. Why send me all the tips? Why go after Megan Price, Eric, Evelyn? Why drag them into this? Jason's face hardened. Because they're all connected. Megan saw something she shouldn't have. Eric was there that day. Evelyn, he paused, his voice breaking. She covered it up. They all played a part and none of them paid the price. Mark's mind reeled as the connections clicked into place. The cases weren't random. They were threads in a single, dark tapestry. A conspiracy that had eluded him for years. Jason, Mark said softly, if you know who took Lucas, we can go to the police. We can. Jason shook his head. No, Calloway. The police won't do anything. That's why I had to do this. To make you see. To make you care. The confrontation. Before Mark could respond, the sound of sirens cut through the night. Jason's eyes widened in panic. You called them, he hissed. No, Mark said quickly. I didn't. Jason backed away, pulling a pistol from his jacket. Stay back. You don't get to ruin this for me. Jason, don't, Mark said, his voice calm but firm. Put the gun down. We can figure this out. The sirens grew louder, their lights flashing in the distance. Jason's hand shook as he aimed the gun at Mark. They took everything from me, Calloway. My son, my life. Everything. Mark's chest tightened. Jason, I know you're in pain. I can't imagine what you've been through. But this isn't the way. Don't let them take you too. For a moment, Jason hesitated. The gun wavered, his face crumpling under the weight of his anguish. But then the police cars screeched to a halt, their doors flying open as officers poured out. Jason looked at Mark one last time, his eyes filled with sorrow. You'll never understand. Before Mark could stop him, Jason turned the gun on himself and pulled the trigger. The aftermath. The night was a blur of flashing lights and distant voices. Mark stood frozen, staring at Jason's lifeless body as officers swarmed the scene. In his hand, he clutched the USB drive, the key to everything Jason had uncovered. Back at his house, Mark plugged the drive into his computer. The screen filled with files, surveillance footage, bank statements, witness interviews, all pointing to a dark network of human trafficking operating in the shadows of the city. Megan Price had stumbled upon it. Eric had unknowingly been part of it. Evelyn had covered for the people involved, whether willingly or under duress. And Lucas Hayes had been one of its victims. Mark sat back, his hands trembling. The puppet master wasn't Jason Hayes. It was the network itself. A sprawling web of corruption that had taken Jason's son and destroyed countless other lives. But now Mark had the evidence. The question was, what would he do with it?